Hello, thank you for joining us today. I am with the very awesome Julie Lerman, who is a Microsoft MVP.
And you may have had the privilege of seeing Julie speak at a conference or user group somewhere around the world.
I am Susan Wisawati. I'm a Microsoft Community Evangelist. And we're going to be talking with Julie today about Entity Framework. So welcome, Julie.
Mm-hmm. Susan, well, I should be welcoming you because we're actually doing this in our house.
We are.
Susan lives right near me.
Yeah. And sometimes we have to meet up in like Florida and yes. Other places.
The last time I saw you was at the South Florida Code Camp.
It was. That was fun. So tell us some of the things you've been doing lately, because I've seen, you know, from some of your Twitter feeds, you've been doing a lot of traveling and
yeah.
You've been doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens. People have all these great invitations to speak at conferences, and it's so hard to say no sometimes. And then, you know, I don't worry about the reality of that until it's time to get on the plane, and I'm like, oh my God, I've got 5 trips all over the world in the next 3 weeks. How am I going to do that? Mm-hmm. But it's fun. I was down at the South Florida Code Camp.
Yeah.
Came home, then went to Wrocław, Poland to speak at Rock Sharp, which was really fun. That was cool because it was just a one room, one day, one track talk. So it was just 6 speakers throughout the day. And I brought my MacBook and I did a presentation. I did an Entity Framework Core within ASP.NET Core Web API presentation totally in OSX.
So
fun.
I bet that's something that not a lot of people have actually seen, so maybe you'll give us a demo
I'll show you.
Okay, so, cool.
And then home, and then to Brazil, right? How do you say no to Brazil? Yeah, so that was for a QCon. So for my first reaction was, whoa, QCon? Like, I didn't know you liked .NET.
Yes.
But it's actually a Microsoft MVP who was running the track. He was so excited. And yeah, there was a bunch of .NET talks there. So that was a lot of fun. And I spent a lot of time hanging out with Lynn Lane, who has all the MVPs, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon.
That's awesome.
So smart.
Yeah.
And then I came home, I had a day home. And then another unique conference experience for me was that I spoke at one of the Agile Alliance conferences. So rather than talking about Entity Framework, I got to talk about the work that I've been doing with teams. Usually they're .NET companies who are doing .NET, and they start with, you know, questions about using Entity Framework in their architecture.
Mm.
But we end up really talking about overall architecture and domain-driven design, and I wanted to share some of the experiences I've had and the techniques that I've used to do that.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I've got one more trip. Well, not counting the trip to New York to go see a client.
That's
in between. And then the last conference this spring, I'm going to back to Techorama in Belgium.
Nice.
This time bringing my husband, because it was so much fun last year, and I thought he would really, really like Belgium, and you know the beer they have there. And then I get to spend the summer in the place I love the most here.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you are a very experienced and well-versed Entity Framework developer, amongst other development skills and talents. Wrote a book on Entity Framework back in version 4.
We were using these to prop things up.
Awesome. But there actually may be some people, maybe not a lot, but there might be some people who actually haven't used Entity Framework and who might not even really understand what it is. Could you give us a little overview of what is Entity Framework and why,
sure,
as a developer, should I care about it?
Yeah, well, especially as a developer in the .NET stack.
Mm-hmm.
So Entity Framework is Microsoft's Object Relational Management Framework. So you might know the phrase ORM, so we call it an ORM. And what it does is it makes it easier to interact with a database so that you don't have to worry about creating connections and commands and
not like the in results. The old days, huh?
Yeah, taking the results, instantiating objects, populating them from the results. Mm-hmm. So it does the boring, redundant work. Mm-hmm. It also, not just Entity Framework, a lot of ORMs have the ability to interpret. You don't even have to write SQL, right? We use link.
Mm-hmm.
So you use link and you express your queries just as link against your actual objects, which we call entities,
mm-hmm.
and not worry about SQL. And then Entity Framework knows how to interpret that from link into whatever commands are relevant to the provider, the database you're using. So there's different providers. I usually use SQL Server, although when I've been on the Mac, I've been using PostgreSQL. So there's a ton of different providers. But also, a lot of people get worried about, well, I don't want some framework writing my queries for me because I'm better.
I want to be in control.
Yeah, I have to be. So, you can let it do the stuff that's kind of easy, and then if there's stuff you need better performance, or it's hard to express, or you've got, really good procedures, or even views already deployed in your database, you can use a mix. You can go back.
You can.
It
so
allows
it's not all
you
to or nothing.
Ways. No, no. People don't realize that.
Yeah,
right? I think you have to.
Right.
So even within Entity Framework, you can still take advantage of its ability to, take care of all the connections and opening and closing connections and executing commands and pulling the results back or, pushing the data. So even if you're not going to let it create that SQL for you, want to use your own SQL or use your own procedures and things like that, you can still do that within the framework.
Aha.
And it really is, even though the ADO.NET with record sets and data sets is still around, since about 2008, Entity Framework really has been the core focus use of, how we do data access in .NET.
Very
so
cool.
I lucked out because, I knew it, and it got released, and then everybody needed to use it.
Yeah, that is so,
so
cool.
I wrote the book.
So what are some of the things that people might be interested in with some of the later releases?
Well, Entity Framework's evolved over the years, and we went from the first version, which didn't have a number, right? It was just Entity Framework,
mm-hmm.
to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we skipped a few versions, and that was just to align with .NET 4. So they said Entity Framework 4 with .NET 4. Mm-hmm. Then we got 5 and 6, and now we have a new version coming. But actually, and it was originally called Entity Framework 7, but along with ASP.NET 5,
mm-hmm.
name change to ASP.NET Core,
uh-huh.
Entity Framework is now Entity Framework Core.
Core.
And the reason is that both of those technologies are so, they're taking Entity Framework and ASP.NET, they've been going along like this. The new stuff isn't connecting here.
Mm-hmm.
The new stuff is starting up here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just new. As a matter of fact, with Entity Framework, they literally threw out the whole code base. Instead of continuing to put band-aids and everything on it, they said, we're just going to write it all over again so that we can do things we haven't been able to do because the code base, the core code base was so old.
How is that challenging for developers who have been using Entity Framework?
Well, for one, it's not backwards compatible.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which is really scary. And the team has talked about, creating paths for migrating, but there's not a one-to-one relationship between the code in EF6 and the code in Entity Framework Core. A lot of the concepts, a lot of the constructs and paradigms of how things work are the same. A lot of your basic code will just continue to work. So as you're using it, whether you're going to try, I wouldn't recommend, especially in these early days of EF Core, I wouldn't even recommend trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, okay, run it here and like look at everything that broke and just go try to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So other people are going to start doing that and come up with the patterns. So for now, you know, it really depends. Like, look, I think it's really important to keep an eye on what is in Entity Framework Core. And a lot of people are ready to use it. They're using ASP.NET Core, and it is possible to use EF6 with ASP.NET Core to kind of merge them. But, you know, for new projects that they're recommending, if you're starting a new project. But if you're starting a new project, I wouldn't just say, okay, we're using Entity Framework Core. Go and look at what's coming in the very first release of it, because they're really going to release in stages. So they're just going to kind of get it out the door, stable. The first rev of it really is going to be focused on, obviously, the basics of doing the persistence, but also on things related to working in a disconnected state, because it's coming with ASP.NET, right? So, you know, it won't be so good at some of the things that right now you can do with a client app, when it's, you know, like WPF or something like that.
Okay.
But definitely keep an eye on it. There's a roadmap,
okay,
right? So you can look and see what's on the roadmap. You can look on GitHub and read through things.
And you know what we should do is we'll post a slide at the end with some good resources too. So
absolutely. Yeah. So a lot of people will just, you know, go. I have even talked to teams and advised them even today, based on what they need. I've told them they're starting a new project. I've literally told them to start with Entity Framework 6 because of the things they want. However, I also strongly advise that what they do is look closely at Entity Framework 7 and make sure they're designing whatever they're designing as closely to how EF7 works and the practices that Entity Framework Core. It's gonna be not the only one.
No.
But then when the features they're waiting for in EF Core finally arrive, then it'll be easier to move things over. They'll be prepared.
Good. That's good. So what kind of demos and things to show us do you think is going to be of interest to folks?
Well, what would be of interest to you? Have you ever seen Entity Framework Core on OS X?
No.
Without Mono? Without even Mono. We're doing it pure.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see it.
That's what I'll do.
Awesome.
So this is really, you know, a Mac. I'm not using, I do have Parallels installed here.
Okay.
Right? But I'm with Windows 10 on it, but I'm not using that.
Yeah.
And I am truly using Core CLR. I'm not even using Mono. Right? Because you can do this with Core CLR, like the Mono version of it.
Okay.
So I end up doing a lot of work in the terminal, which is, you know, this is not PowerShell. This is Bash. So I had to learn that. The keyboards are in different, keys are in different places and they do different things.
Mm-hmm.
This is Visual Studio Code.
I actually started learning Visual Studio Code on my Windows machine.
And we should just tell people, why would you use Visual Studio Code instead of Visual Studio?
Well, the first reason I started using it is because I was exploring JavaScript and I was doing Node. So the JavaScript stuff you can debug, you know, in your browser, right? But when it came to Node, I couldn't do that. Now, there is actually a Node extension for Visual Studio, but Visual Studio Code was just out, and it has built-in debugging for Node, which was awesome. So I was like, okay, I've learned, you know, of 1 million things. What's 1 million in one?
And Visual Studio Code runs on Mac.
Oh, so, well, I start, it runs everywhere.
Right.
It's written actually in something called Electron, which is, it's JavaScript, but it's for client apps, not web apps. So you can build, you know, an installable app that runs anywhere in Electron.
Cool.
So that's what Microsoft did. They wrote it in Electron.
So that, but it has, what's cool about it, I mean, there was already, like, for the all those people who do web stuff and Angular, like, you know, John Papa and Dan Moline and all the, you know, like, those .NET guys who were very familiar with doing that work. They're already using, you know, Sublime Text. They're already using, like, text editors with extensions, because for what they were doing, Visual Studio was overkill mm-hmm. for what they wanted to do. So mm-hmm. what this is, it's like those text editors, but on steroids, mm-hmm. right? Because it does have, it, for example, you know, we have
IntelliSense,
just like in Visual Studio. So it, not everything. I mean, if I really want that rich, rich IDE, obviously sure. I use Visual Studio, but I can't do that on OS X. Anyway, so so it has a lot of the bells and some of the bells and whistles we're used to from Visual Studio Code, tons of extensions. But it's not just, you know, so C Sharp is one of the many, many things it works with. Although the debugger, the C Sharp debugging, believe it or not, the Node debugging is built in
uh-huh.
and awesome. The C Sharp debugging, they've just got, that's in kind of in beta right now.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny to be using that. But guess what? Do C Sharp in OS X.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's like amazing. So I don't have SQL Server and LocalDB on here though. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so you're just looking at C Sharp code, right?
Yeah.
Just totally normal. And this is just a file that's seeding my database. But I'll open up the context. So this is more for people who are familiar with using Entity Framework, mm-hmm. just to say, hey, look. You know, I'm just inheriting from DB context like I always have. Here's a DB set like I've always had, right? So a lot of that stuff is really familiar. Here's on model creating like I've always had. It's a lot of those things. I have, this is just my plain old POCO class, right? And my context class is aware of that. In Visual Studio, we would normally add a reference, right? With this, now I'm also using ASP.NET Core.
Okay.
Okay, so the whole paradigm is different. And what we have now is a project JSON file, and we just list the files in there. So notice I didn't list like entityframework.core, entityframework.sqlserver. This actually is a third-party provider, and I should point out I'm using the RC1 version,
okay,
which was released in November,
okay,
and RC2 is going to be out sometime this spring, soon, and all those namespace changes, that mm-hmm. name change from EF7 to EF Core, ASP.NET 5 to ASP.NET Core, that happened in between. And also the CLI, all those things. So the package names are going to change. The mm-hmm. namespaces will change. Okay. But I needed to work in something that was stable instead of the nightly builds. Mm-hmm. So this package JSON is where you say, you know, okay, I wanted to use the NPG SQL provider. That gives me PostgreSQL. And that has a dependency on some of the Entity Framework core APIs.
Uh-huh.
So when I run the package manager to update the packages, it also pulls in the correct packages. So you can actually look in this project lock file and you mm-hmm. can see all the packages that really got pulled in. And you can see that Entity Framework Core mm-hmm. definitely got pulled in. Entity Framework.relational got pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
So another interesting thing with Entity Framework Core is that it's not one big fat assembly. So Entity Framework 6, Entity Framework DLL for EF6 is 6 megabytes, which doesn't sound a lot,
yeah.
like a lot, unless you want to do things like we can do with this is, you know, deploy it onto a small device, right? You don't
right.
or onto a phone, right? Because we can do UWP, right? Mm-hmm. And put it on a Windows phone, right?
Or that's
we can,
awesome.
We can, or... You know, even here, so whether I design this app and debug and develop and compile it or whatever I'm doing, whether I do it on a Mac or I do it on Windows, when it comes time to deploy it,
mm-hmm.
because of the whole core CLR, that gets deployed also.
Ah, right? I see.
So,
yeah.
you know, you want everything, like the most minimal stuff. Like you don't want extra stuff
right.
because you're deploying, you know, the core CLR and all the, you know, all the different APIs that you need. So you want them to be as streamlined as possible. So even though it sounds like, oh, 6 megs, that's nothing. In the scheme of the whole sure. application, you want to make those packages as small as possible. So sure. don't waste stuffing logic in there.
Yeah.
So this is a combination of right now also, things are still in the works, right? Actually, this Visual Studio Code is now officially version 1. They just released it officially the other day. But I can run it. I can't yet run this from within here.
Okay.
Just because that's related to the debugging that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So people who have been playing with newer bits, the things that are changing like every day, and you mm-hmm. don't know what's going to happen to it, they can debug in here, and I'm not ready to do that. But I can run it here, right? My little app. So if you watch this, you'll see what happens as this is running. Da-da-da-da. Do you see all these? Did you see the SQL going mm-hmm. by?
Yes.
So I have some startup code that just recreates and reseeds the database each time.
Nice.
So that's what was happening there. And this is going to my PostgreSQL
mm-hmm.
database that's on here. Now I can go ahead and run this, and I think it's at, yeah. So it's running on a port, mm-hmm. it's just local, sure. right? Running on port 5000. So remember, this, I built it in OS X, now I'm going to actually be running it. So with CoreCLR, there's also a little server, Kestrel server.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it understands, so you don't have to have IIS. So that's that can get deployed, so you can deploy this onto a server, onto, actually have the ability to do this. I have this set up. You can deploy it to Docker and take the Docker instance and, run it on Linux.
Wow.
Right. So, but the server is there. So now you can have a Linux server. You don't have to have a Windows server.
A whole separate IIS.
Yeah, and nice. And so it knows how to run that. So I just have a little web API,
yep.
and that's why I'm going /API, and it's called the weather controller.
Mm-hmm.
And its default is just to spit out some weather data that was the seed data, and it has other capability, a few other capabilities that I built in, like I can do filtering. This is not getting weather record number 2. This is actually will hit. Method that filters. Number 2 actually is an integer representing the type of weather, whether it was snowy or sunny. So I have an enum, right? So that's what that's doing. So that will call. So I can filter that way by, calling the different types. I can filter on date just because that's how I've built the web API. I can actually show you the web API.
Mm.
Anyway, so I think, the API, like how it works and everything, what the code is not really the exciting part here. The exciting part is that, I'm building this right on OS X. I'm running it on OS X. I can take this, and I have done this. I'm not going to bother doing it for you, but take this and deploy it to Docker containers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I'm using PostgreSQL, mm-hmm. right? So I'm using, and I have a little IDE from JetBrains, mm-hmm. so I can look at that. That actually, this is cool. In this whole, kind of being more flexible and open source and everything, this data grip actually allows you to interact with many different types of databases.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, instead of...
I don't know about that.
Oh, I don't have this. Well, I've used SQLite and
mm-hmm.
I think... Oh, these are the ones I've set up, I've used in here. I happen to be using PostgreSQL for this little app, but, I've used SQLite. So there's a SQLite provider mm-hmm. also for Entity Framework Core. But this application, I can create... all kinds of different, look at all the different kind of data sources it supports. So since it was all new to me, rather than, there is a special IDE, database manager for PostgreSQL. Mm-hmm. I could have installed that. I could have installed one for looking at SQLite. I could have installed one for looking at that. So instead I grabbed this, JetBrains, ReSharper, right? So I grabbed this and I've been playing with it. It has a lot of rich features. I barely even touched. I was just like, you know, mm-hmm. it was enough that I was like, okay, PostgreSQL. I had to learn how to pronounce it and, you know, all of that. So, but how fun is it to like be able to do this, go this new?
Right.
This far new. Like,
yes.
And I'm still within, you know, the safety zone. I'm still doing C sharp and everything, but I get, okay, yeah, it's like a toy for me a little.
Yeah.
And we get C sharp and we get all these great tools. We've been so lucky. I know all of my non-Microsoft programming friends have always been so jealous.
Really?
Well, sometimes there have been times, you know, kind of a little more back in the day mm-hmm. when I have shown Java programmers, I mean, now that, you know, the tooling has obviously advanced mm-hmm. elsewhere also, but Microsoft was so far ahead with tooling mm-hmm. and they'd see Visual Studio and they're like,
yeah,
right. I mean, Eclipse, now you open up Eclipse and like, oh, this is familiar. It looks just like Visual Studio. Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us today and share some of your experiences and your vast knowledge and, of course, kind of insider info on Entity Frameworks.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Julie.
Are you going to stop at Small Dog on the way home and pick up a new Mac?
I don't know if that's going to happen today.
Yeah, well, it's fun. I love this. I really do. Mm-hmm. And my touch screen. I mean, this is a beautifully built machine, but it's really fun to have an excuse.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, yeah, so great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming to my house.
I'm very happy
to be here. Everybody's invited to Vermont to come hang out with Susan and I.
Thanks.